Westminster Confession of Faith, chapter 10, section 2. This effectual call is of God's free and special grace alone, not from anything at all foreseen in man, who is altogether passive therein, until, being quickened and renewed by the Holy Spirit, he is thereby enabled to answer this call and to embrace the grace offered and conveyed in it. The opening section of chapter 10 provided a general description of God's sovereign and effective call to his people. And the next two sections shift emphasis slightly as they discuss the people that are summoned to salvation. And this morning we'll look at section 2, which begins by reviewing one of the most basic facts about God and his effectual call, its source. Its source is God's free and special grace alone. It is God who saves us. He calls us to trust in Christ. And this call is free. There's no obligation for God to love his enemies, no debt that he owes to us, no need for him to call out to those who turn away from him, as Romans 9 makes so clear. This call is also special. God speaks to each of his people directly and personally. And this call is gracious, for it comes at no cost to ourselves and at great cost to our God. It's the graciousness of this call that dominates the New Testament epistles. And one way in which God underlines his graciousness is to repeatedly mention it beside our helplessness. And so we're told in one place that it was because of his great love for us that God made us alive with Christ. And then we're told that this life came to us even when we were dead in transgressions. On the one hand, we're being told, it's by grace you've been saved. On the other hand, we're told, this is not from yourselves. It is not by works. The message that Paul gave to the Ephesians was the same message that Timothy and Titus were to pass on to others. We are saved not according to our works, but according to his purpose and grace. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saves us, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Well, some have suggested that perhaps we could still say that God sees something good in us that motivates him to come to us. But that's just what the scriptures do not suggest. And so the confession states that this salvation is not from anything foreseen in man. You see, the baseline of scripture is always about what God has done, not about what we might do. And so here we're told that God's invitation to salvation does not come to sinners because God sees something unique, something special in each person that he calls. Of course, God foresees everything in every person's life, and we are all different. But he does not choose to save us because he peered into the future and noticed that certain people were inclined towards religious things where others were not. Instead, what Scripture repeatedly sets before us is a picture of death in ourselves and of life in Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. When it comes to salvation, we are passive. There's nothing that we can do until we're quickened or made alive. We're helpless to help ourselves until we are renewed by the Holy Spirit. And that's why Paul speaks in such stark terms of death and life. That's why we're told that the sinful mind is hostile to God. Not only does it not submit to God's law, it cannot do so. Without the Spirit of Christ, we cannot accept the things that come from the Spirit of God. And so there was never a time when God could look into the future and find people that were in themselves spiritually discerning. No, all spiritual discernment comes from him alone. He must call us to our senses because for those who are without the Spirit, all spiritual things are foolishness. Of course, that can be changed. And it is changed when we are united to Christ and given his Spirit. No one can be united to the risen Savior and not experience new life. No one can be filled with the Spirit and not be renewed. And so it is that by the Spirit's power, we are enabled to answer this call from God. When Christ embraces us by His Spirit, we in turn find ourselves able to embrace the grace offered and conveyed to us in that call. And really, what good would it be if God's offer of grace did not convey or communicate the grace to us at the same time? Again, we can be sure of this offer, for it's just one part of the faithfulness of our triune God. His faithfulness in honoring His promises to us, and also His faithfulness to Himself. We know that we'll be able to come and that we will not be driven away, because it's the Father who gave us as a gift to His Son. And He must be faithful to Himself. We know that the Spirit will come to all of God's people, because God sends His Spirit for His own honor and glory. Why does He give us His Spirit? He puts His Spirit in us so that we'll be moved to follow His decrees and His commands, so that we will become more like Him. Well, perhaps it's best to end this morning, to end this section, by remembering the words of our Lord in John 5. There He promised that a time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear Him will live. Surely these words point to the final day of the world and the resurrection that we all await. But these words also signal that with the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the realities of the last day have a dramatic importance for every day. Even now, dead sinners do hear God's voice, and they live. In a few minutes, this room will be filled with those who were once dead until they heard the voice of the Son of God, until they heard His call. And as they heard God's call, they experienced God's grace. But when we worship our God this morning, there will also be those, in all likelihood, who do not have ears to hear God's call. There will be those who need the sovereign work of the Spirit in their lives. So let us rejoice about all who come here to worship this morning. But let us pray that each one of us will know the voice of God, will hear the voice of the Son of God, and will learn the blessed truth that those who hear will live. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, how grateful we are that You loved us first, or we would have never loved You. We would never have turned from our sin and our own ways. We never would have stopped our wandering unless You had called out to us and enabled us to turn back to You. Help us to hear Your call today, those who are here and those who are yet to come, and those who are scattered about through Your world. And we ask this in Jesus' matchless name and by the power of His Spirit. Amen.